Okay. All right, ready now. So basically, it's quite funny because, as you know, the building move has been going on for a while. Pastor Sam announced it back in the autumn of 2009. So it's about 15 months, year and a half now into this venture. And I know God's been speaking to a lot of the church members. But I think for me, just pretty much since the middle of last year, you know, I just really just seeking God's face, seeing what he was doing in the midst of all this, in the midst of, you know, the properties that we thought we could get but didn't happen, the bit of land that we thought we were going to get didn't happen, and, you know, really just trying to seek God's face and all that. And sort of today is almost a culmination of that sort of 6 months of journaling and downloading. So there's a lot of scriptures which we'll be going through. So you have to go get your Bibles ready. So I don't know if the ushers can pass out some Bibles, please, for those who haven't got them. And I'll open up in prayer, and we'll just go from there. Heavenly Father, just thank you for today. Thank you, just love SP so much. You love each and every one so much, Lord. And it's your desire to see us just walk in the fullness of what you've called us to do, Lord Father. I thank you, Lord, that we are your beloved sons and daughters, and you just want to speak to us and minister through us, Lord. And I thank you for this opportunity, Lord Father, to just share what you've really put on my heart in my times of quiet time with you, in my times of Bible reading, Lord. And I just pray that there'll be fertile hearts in this place to receive your word, Lord. For the words you've given me and spoken to me were sweet in my mouth, but bitter in my stomach, Lord Father. And they challenged me, Lord Father. And I know some of these words may challenge the congregation here as well, Lord. But I just pray that you really minister to each and every one of us this morning. Lord, just reveal your heart to your children here today. Lord, we just thank you so much. We love you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. So the title of my sort of message, I'll call it, is called Now is the Time. And I want you guys to turn to Haggai chapter 1. We'll just sort of start there and we'll sort of go our way through. So Haggai chapter 1 from verse 2. And I'll be reading sort of various chunks through to chapter 2 verse 9. Haggai is one of the books of the prophets right at the end of the Old Testament. Okay, so I'm a NIV person, so I'm just going to read from the NIV, so please follow along. So in verse 2 it says, "This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it the time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much but harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink but never have your fill. You put on clothes but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see it turn out to be little. What you brought home I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house." And if you go to verse 13, it says, "Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty their God on the 24th day of the 6th month. Moving forward to chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "On the 21st day of the 7th month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the remnants of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I'll once more shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I'll shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. And I'll fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty." Amen. Right, so I'm just going to introduce myself a little bit. I know a lot of the faces here, so good to see you. For those who don't know me, I'm Haij. I've been coming to SP since about 2004, and as is custom, I also say I'm married, and my beautiful wife, Jisun, is in the third row over there. She told me not to say that, but you know, I had to say it there. So, so I've been here sort of since mid-2004, had a little stint in Japan in the middle, and I hope... And this is my hope that, for those of you who know me, you know, I love SP, right? I love God. And as you guys, as brothers and sisters SP, that extends to you. So I love you guys, right? So I'm going to say some words here today, which may sound a bit harsh, but just take it out of love and then sort of receive in that way. I'm just going down the PSAM mold. And, turn to your neighbor and say, God loves you and Haij loves you. All right, cool. All right, so I mean, this, as I said in my intro, was basically, I'd say roughly about 6 months of quiet time and seeking God. And really, a lot of these verses really just stirred my heart. So that's the message I really want to convey. So as I said, you know, I'm not here to condemn, I'm not here to rebuke, but I really just want the Holy Spirit to minister to you like he's really ministered to me over this last sort of 6 months journey. And, you know, many of you know me. I'm not afraid to share what's on my heart with those who I'm close to. I'm a man, or I'm growing to be a man who I really just try and please God. You know, it says in Acts 5, Peter and the other apostles reply, we must obey God rather than human beings. So I'm not here to tickle your ears. I'm just really sensing that this is something that God's really ministered through me and he wants me to share. So I sort of come from that aspect. But what I mean, I'll give you a bit of background of Haggai. And this was sort of stuff I got from the internet and did a bit of reading on. So as you can see, the main theme of Haggai, basically, God's saying through his prophet, you're not building my house, you're building your own houses. I mean, that's just the main crux of it, right? And this is a time, actually, it's quite funny because it's a time Israel, they had basically started building the foundations of the temple. And this is 17 years prior to this incident, Haggai. I think there's verses in Ezra that allude to that. But then through certain aspects, they sort of stopped building. One of those aspects which... it's something that I sort of sense a little bit in our adventure as well, the spirit of fear. And that fear came about because they actually had a decree from the previous king, King Cyrus, to actually build this temple. But what happened was when King Darius took over, they didn't realize if that decree had gone up to that second king. So they were like, are we still allowed to build it? Has he found out what's going on? You know, so there's an element of fear there. And also at that time, the Persian kingdom was expanding. So, you know, they looking around, they just saw armies and sort of a lot of warfare, basically. So fear was one big element. The second big element, though, was comfortableness. They, in that interim time, you know, they God prospered them, and they sort of forgot the covenant from Egypt. They forgot that they were called to build his house and his temple. And so the blessings of God came into their lives, and they basically started to build up their own houses, build up their own kingdoms, right? And they were sort of content in that. And not only were they content simply to build residences, houses in this new land, but the word there actually in the scriptures, paneled houses, and looking at sort of a commentary, it basically means lavish decorations. So it's not just a bog standard house. They really poured out lavishly to build their houses up in their places. And obviously such resources took time. It took money, it took their own efforts, and it took it away from the vision that God had placed 16 years ago to build their temple. Now, verse 4 is the one, obviously, where Haggai really speaks into them and says, you know, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? It's quite funny because this I read this commentary, this morning, and it sort of stirred in my mind. And this commentator sort of said... that maybe there's an element where they were thinking, and I fall in this trap, as I say, this is more of a journey for myself, which I'm sharing with you, is that God blesses us, right? He loves us so much. And part of that witness to the world is that, you know, God loves his children, right? Yeah. You want to show that, you know, as many pastors have said, excel in your workplaces, right? Do the utmost best that you can do, because that's going to be the greatest witness to the world. And there's an element that in this era of basically Judah, that they were trying to be a witness to the world, witness to God, saying, hey, God loves us, he's supreme, he's provided for us, he's blessed us. But part of that, I recognize, is a double-edged sword. I mean, that's You can convince yourself to say that, but if you start losing the vision that God originally planted, and that becomes your main vision, then in some ways, temptation has taken over. And you start thinking, oh, I've got to keep on building up my kingdom because that's glorifying God. And if you sat down and think about it, you sort of think, well, is it really? I mean, am I really glorifying God by doing things for myself? And so this is the stage where Haggai came into this place. And, you know, he gave him a harsh word. And then they came around. I mean, they came around, they built the house. And the one thing I love about this prophecy was all throughout he said, the Lord is with you. God was encouraging them, saying, look, I know you guys are doing this, but I am with you. So to have courage, right, have faith. And not only that, but he says, the glory of the latter house will be greater than the one of the former. Right? And this will be a place of peace, right? And as I say, I was just really just dialoguing, superimposing upon SP and our journey over the last 7 or 8 years. And our church has changed a lot. You know, when I came in 2004, I see a few members here, but it's like 30, 40 of us, and we're in a different location. And now, you know, we're 200 plus, we've got amazing ministries, and we're growing, and God's transforming this place to be a real place of peace. But he's also transforming each season so that his glory is greater than the one in the previous season. And, you know, I know P. Sam shared about the vision and stuff, but this building is another level of that culmination, right? To really get us to a stage where the glory that will emanate from the building plan and from the new location will be greater than the one we're seeing now. So now I really just hope you can grasp that. Right, so moving on. Right, let's go. Solomon's Porch. I know you guys have heard it. We're a blessed body of Christ. Right, so turn to your neighbor and say, we are a blessed body of Christ. in terms of, I mean, I've been to a few churches, and I know many of you guys have as well, but I've very rarely seen a concentration of young professionals, a concentration of finances, people in finance, people in law, teachers, you know, professionals in many various fields in one single place. And, you know, I've seen SP's generosity through and through throughout many years, right, that we've been here. We've seen the giving into ministry, we've seen the giving into missions, we've seen the giving into the brothers and sisters who've needed funds at the time they've needed it. And so, you know, I've seen that heart of SP. But as I was self-reflecting on my heart of SP at the time, I couldn't help but question the way I was dealing with my finances again. You know, I was just having that reflection time. And really seeking, asking God whether I've truly been a good steward. That's one of the questions that came across my mind. And, you know, in some ways, I just came to conclude that I hadn't been a good steward, right? And again, it comes back to that one reason. I found out it was comfortableness. I found that comfortableness and being comfortable had really killed off a lot of the stuff that God had placed in my heart in previous years. And whether that's in our life, whether it's in our job, whether that's because Hong Kong's one of those places where you have a wonderful helper culture, you know, taxes are low, and you know, all those things, that really started to erode into the things that God had placed on my heart many years ago. And, you know, as P. Salmon says it, we're at a pivotal time right now in SP history. The church's been around for 7 years. Last year was the seventh year of existence, and you know, for those of you who know sort of numbers in the Bible, the seven is the number of perfection. And this year we're in the eighth year, and eight is the number of prosperity in China. So this is really the year of reaping, right? All that stuff that we've sowed over 7 years, it's a time where we need to start reaping that, and not into our own kingdoms, but into the kingdom of God. I shared a couple of weeks ago, P. Sam called it a mini sermon, but I shared about Numbers and Joshua and Caleb and how, you know, we need faith to rise up. And I see, you know, that many of our members are in that place right now. But the prayer that I have and that other members have is that not just many of us, but all of us are in that place, right? Because we need a united body to be moving forward into this vision. And amongst my ramblings, if there's one thing I'd like to jot down, it's going to be the next bit. And this was actually back in 2009. So I was sharing my accountability brothers about, you know, about the pledge. What does it mean about the building? You know, what are we doing here and stuff? And my very, very wise brother, actually, I think he's teaching some discourse, so I can mention his name, is Chris Lee, one of our dear worship leaders. He just mentioned a very simple and sort of poignant fact, and I was like, wow, that's pretty profound. And he said, if you think about it, right, many of us have come from different walks of life in our Christian faith. This may be our first church, or we may have come from previous churches. But every single church we've been to has been built up by the offerings and sacrifice of other people. I mean, I'll say it again. I mean, every single church we've been to has been built up by the offerings and sacrifice of other people. Whether that's the forefathers of the Hong Kong Korean Church, where SP was birthed from, whether it's our home church in our homelands, but every other church that we've ever been to, we didn't have a part in that. We were just there and we received. And he said, his word was, now's the time for us to give. Now's the time for us to give to generations to come, for us to sow into and build something that other people in 10, 15, 20 years' time are going to receive and say, you know, they're receiving, and we're just to give back what we've received over all our lifetimes. And that really just hit me. I was like, wow, I never thought of it like that. I just thought we're giving to a building, to a vision. But I never realized that I've been a recipient of other people's sacrifices for my 30-plus Christian life. And now God's challenging us, individually and corporately, to be that bridgestone and say, hey, it's sort of now your turn, right? You've been blessed spiritually, financially, in many, many ways for our entire lives. Now he's now sort of laid the mark and say, hey, now it's your guys' turn. What are you guys going to do? What are you guys going to do? And that really spoke to me at the time. I was like, wow, what am I going to do? Right? As I say, that just touched me. Numbers. I know P. Sam goes on about this 50 million number, and he's mentioned it a fair few times, and like, oh, we've got to raise X amount. I mean, I have worked in finance for a while, been in banking since sort of 2002 and other areas and stuff. So I have a fairly good idea of what sort of passes through the hands of certain people and sort of professions, etc. And when, and this is just me being frank, when P. Sam mentioned that number at our sort of elders meeting, I said, number's fine. Actually, I actually even said to him, and you sort of asked him, I said, actually, I got a sense that we could even wipe out the mortgage by the end of this year. That was really my sense. I said, what's the heart of the issue is the heart. Because if I just did my own sort of, whatever you call it, sort of bank balance, asset check, you know, I knew that God's blessed me. And I know that God's blessed many of us in our many years that we've been at SP. So I knew numbers and money wasn't ever going to be the issue. It's going to be a matter of the heart. Are we really ready to be united and move forward in this vision? Are we really ready to be united and just to go forward and really just press into what God wants to do through Solomon's Porch and through the new vision, through the location, through the many ministries that are going to be birthed out of that? And that's the thing that we really recognized. And, you know, the theme of last year was also reaping. And I know God gave so many testimonies to many of us, right, through promotions, through relationships, just in all those, even in a house church, like people that prayed for stuff for so many years came through last year. God did his part, he delivered. And Jason and myself, as we were praying about the faith of last year, we were really asking God and saying, hey, you've given us so much, what can we bless you with? And, you know, we've tried to the best of our abilities to give what you've given us, given our talents, etc., and really to give back. But we really came to the conclusion now, this time around, praying about the pledge, that we didn't give out of our full strength last year. I'm going to embarrass my brother, who's actually in London right now. Many of you know I met Ed, who was here from October 2009 to about September last year. And for his pledge, he actually gave 100,000 Hong Kong dollars. And that was his life savings as a teacher. So he taught in Korea for 3 years, and he saved that money up, and he basically said, bro, I've really prayed about the vision, and I want to give it all. And I was like, really? And he said, yeah, I mean, I want to give it all. And this is really his future in many essence. And you know, God stirred something in his heart, even in that brief 9 months, to really just grab hold of what God wanted to do in SP and through Hong Kong. Myself and Chison, on the other hand, the amount we pledged was larger, but it was well within our means. And that's what we recognized this year. It was like, it was just... That was the sad case. And I'm just going to read from Mark 12. You know, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings are put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in 2 very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty put in everything, all she had to live on. And that really sort of spoke to me when I was really just praying about my brother. And so this year, you know, it came around, and we really had to have a heart struggle with God and say, look, what can we offer you that you haven't really given us already? Right? What is it that we have, whether it's our lives, whether it's our relationships, whether it's our workplaces, our finances, our blessings that you haven't given us? And so, you know, we just really came to a point where we were sort of struggling with that amount, which I know many of you guys have gone through, you guys are still doing as well. And at this point, I'll be frank, I think I was reminded of my old churches that I went to. There's a church the one I went to in Tokyo for 2 years when I was apart from SP. And you know, each church has their own sort of makeup and their own sort of DNA. But the one thing I really, when I was in that church and when I came back to SP, I recognized was that church was sold out for God. Their one and only vision was the missions in Japan. And they'd grown from about, I think, 20 people in 98 to roughly 10,000 in when I left. And in Japan, that's amazing. That's a miracle in itself. But the one thing that really struck me was that from the leadership all the way down, even down to people who started to get plugged into church, they recognized the vision of the church, and they were all sold out. And that really spoke to my heart. And also infringed upon that, there's an area of sadness for me personally, but a little bit of area of sadness for Solomon's Porch. Because, I've been sort of hearing from people, I've been sharing with people, and I see that there are many of us here, and so I'm not trying to say condemn anyone, many of us here who are really for this. But I know there are many who aren't, and that really sort of boggles my mind. And whether that's a fault of the leadership, we put our hands up, I put my hands up and say, okay, we maybe haven't expressed the vision properly, or maybe we just haven't prayed enough to get people in the right place. But, guys, this next 3 months is it, basically, right? I know many of us on the leadership have seen the new place, and all of us have come back really sensing that this is the place that God wants us to move to. But it's going to take a united body of Christ to really move forward in this place. And so I just pray that, that in your quiet times, for those of you really still thinking about, is SP's vision for me? Do I need to give into this? Or, Lord, what can I give for you? And I just really just wrestle with God. Now, speak to your house church leaders, speak to Pastor Sam, speak to anyone like Charles, Tom, and Jenny, and elders, myself. But just, if you need to dialogue with us, just come and chat with us, because we don't want the excuses, I didn't know what was going on. Or we don't want the excuses, I didn't realize it was that important. Now, we don't want the excuses, I thought I could give next year. Because at the moment, there is no next year. Right? The timeline's actually pretty tight, as Janice mentioned. And, on a similar note, when hearing Pastor Dominic Yeo speaking about Trinity, and how that church was sold out, and people selling houses and cars for the vision, right? And I look at SP and I think, wow, we've got a mighty army of men and women of God. And yeah, this is easy, basically. But the one thing is the heart shift. And that's, I know, what the focus on prayer is right now. But, praise God. As I say, last year never happened. And I know a lot of people had ups and downs with the building of the Hillier building and the plot of land and certain things that came through. And this year, as I say, we sit in this place where 9 Dever Road, just right down the street, is there. And, to give you an update, things are moving quite quickly. So we're going to know, I guess, in the next 2 or 3 weeks, whether our bid's successful. And in which case, in the sort of 2 or 3 months after that, we're going to have to raise that stub of cash to bridge the financing. And so, as I say, Chisel and myself are praying about the number this year. And so we've got a couple of numbers, and I like PC, I'm saying, if you've got 2 numbers and one's larger, go for that. I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. Okay, we'll go for that. So we went for that. But actually, quite ironically for us, or quite ironically for me, I actually got, not really a number, I just got 2 words, and that was all in. Are you all in? That's what I got. That's what God was sort of saying to me in the Chison, because, we're vested in this church, we're leaders in this church, and as leaders, we're servants of this church. And God just saying, are you all in? It's not about the money, but that's just really the word that I got. And we wrestled with that. We really did wrestle with that for a couple of days. And we just said at the end of the day, God, all we have is truly yours. And for once in our lives, we want to be able to confess like David in 1 Chronicles. He says, but who am I that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we've given you only what comes from your hand. What is it that we have that hasn't come from God anyway? So him saying, are you all in, was that churning of our stomachs. It's like, God, what does it mean? What do we have that hasn't come from you? We profess that so easily in our times of prayer, in our times of worship. But when it comes to crunch time now, you've done the talk, you know, it's now walk the walk. And that's what we really received. I believe in his promises. I believe in Luke 12, seek his kingdom and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your father's been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so these scriptures really started to mean something. It was stuff that I read like countless times and I brushed over. I was like, wow, these actually start to mean something now. Like it challenged me. I'm like, wow, is my treasure really here on earth? Is it really in heaven? You know, am I building up my kingdom here, my house, my paneled house, or am I building up your kingdom? And these verses, which I've read many times, really start to hit truth into my heart and my spirit. And I know there's testimonies to come. I've heard testimonies already, even this last sort of 1 month. For myself and Chizon, our personal testimony was a challenge of giving basically a bonus, or my bonus for this year. And that was something that we, as I say, we wrestled with, but you know, we were able to give joyfully. Our only regret was with market conditions. I was blessed a bit more last year than this year. And so I'm like, yeah, we'll give you what we can, Lord. But you know, last year was a chance we could have done more. But I know God sort of honors that. And I know people said that quite in a blasé way. You know, I've given my 1 year's bonus and stuff. But I think for me, the way I sort of thought about it and really prayed it through was I always confess to God that I'm working for him, right? And it's that cliche. I'm in the workplace, I'm working for you. I could be a missionary, but I'm in this marketplace working for you. And again, this is one of those mirror points where it's like, okay, what does that mean? And so it's like, okay, Haij, what does that mean? You're working for me. Yeah, sure, you can minister to your work colleagues. That's great, right? You can bring people to Christ. That's great. But why do you think you've been placed in a certain place that you've been placed? Is it to, again, back to Haggai, which is the verse for me at the moment, is it to bless your own kingdom and build your own house, or is it to bless my kingdom and build my house? Why is it that you're a banker and someone else isn't? Or you're a trader and someone else isn't? You know, are you more smart than anyone else? And I know for a fact that's not true. You know? And I can delude myself, think I've got a great education, you know, I've got this, that, and the other. That's just not true at all. And so he really just showed a mirror to my face. Hey, so why do you think you're there? And I recognize that. There's one time in my life, both of us, we prayed that, you know, we don't know when God's going to call us to different things. We don't know when God's going to call us to leave Hong Kong. We don't know when God's going to call us to leave the industry. But what we do know is that while we're doing what we're doing, to really just give and live for God wholeheartedly, right? And I mean, the challenge was like last year, you know, all I said to God was, Lord, I just want to live for you at least for 1 year. And that's essentially what this bonus was. So all my effort for last year, I was like, okay, God, here it is. I'm just going to give it to you. So last year's my work was for you. And guys, I know it sounds like a challenge, and this is the verse that really came to me. It's Mark 14 from verse 3. It says, while he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. Leave her alone, said Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing for me. I mean, basically, this woman gave a year's worth of her salary and broke it on Jesus' head. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I've read that before. And now, like, you're challenging me to give a year's worth of my work and lay it at your feet. And that spoke to me. That really spoke to me and challenged me. And at the end of the day, I'm going to get blessed next year. I'm going to get blessed the year after that. And the year after that, and the year after that, and the year after that. And as Pastor Sam said, you can never outgive God. But I recognize that in this current time, in 2011, is a time where markers have to be made. Things have to be put in, right? And I know there's this, and I've spoken to house church members, I've spoken to other brothers and sisters. There is, unfortunately, a spirit of fear, and I've gone through that of, if I give this amount right now, what does that mean for the future? But my entire life, God's provided. So if I give now, does that mean he's going to stop providing? Of course not. Right? If I give now, does it mean his blessing's going to stop flowing? Of course not. And we know the scriptures, you know, He will give unto us what we give into him, a good measure poured down on our lap, running over. And so I'm not giving to receive more in the future. I'm giving because I've been blessed so much. I'm giving because I trust God that what I give now, he's going to always outgive me anyway. And as Leanne said in a testimony a couple of weeks ago, it's not, may not even come in monetary sort of ways, but he's always going to give more to me because he loves me. I'm his son. We're his sons and daughters, right? And so, you know, I just pray, and especially for those of you who have that little bit of fear, like, if I really do this for you, God, what's going to happen? God has got your back, right? Just in your quiet time, just sit down and just rack your brain of all those times that God has blessed you and got your back. And you'll be sitting there for hours thanking him. God has got your back, right? It's only the real fear, like the Israelites had, that they see the Persian kingdom, they see the big numbers, they see the fear and the surroundings, and they think, oh, I need to build up my own kingdom because I need to be secure. Rather than giving into his kingdom, and then blessing will flow the other way. And First Chronicles is very long, and I was going to read it, but I'll sort of see where I can go through. I can read this. We all know it's David. We know David is a man after God's own heart. We all know David messed up in many, many ways. And yet still, God said, this is a man after my own heart. And just reading 1 Chronicles, if you want to go to 28, 1 Chronicles 28, chapter verse 9. Just this whole scenario really just made me understand why God loved David so much. So 1 Chronicles 28, chapter 9. And I actually, I sort of did something a little bit cheeky, but it sort of changed the text a little bit. So I'll read it from my version. It says, "And you, my son Solomon," I actually said, "And you, my Solomon's porch, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion, with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every desire and every thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house as a sanctuary. Be strong and do the work." And in 1 Chronicles 29, from verse 1, it says, "Then King David said to the whole assembly," and it says, "My son Solomon," I just put, "my Solomon's porch, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great, because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. Then the leaders of families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands, the commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. They gave toward the work of the temple of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 darics of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. Anyone who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord in the custody of Jehiel the Gershonite. The people rejoiced at the willing response of the leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly." And then it goes on to David's prayer, and you know, he says, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building your temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent, and now I have seen with joy how willing your people who are here have given to you." And that's David for you, right? He's the king of the age, and he still recognized that he was a shepherd at heart, and God had raised him to become a king. And I know personally, like in the 5-6 years I've been at SP, that from where I am now, from where I was before, God's blessed me so much. And that's the same with a lot of us here in this place, you know. Many of us got married, many of us got children, many of us had promotions, and God's done that over the last 5 or 6 years. But then David once can recognize that that wasn't the end of it. Because when David was called upon to give back, he recognized that he was but a steward. That all the stuff he'd been blessed with was not his to earn or own, but to really to take care of his master's belongings, and he gave back wholeheartedly with an open hand. Guys, you know, life is short. I know Jamie has got relatives, but you've all heard about the Christchurch disaster this week, you know, where many people died. I was reading on the internet where actually a Korean father flew over because there was a Korean language school where it sort of collapsed, and both his son and daughter were in that school and they died. So he flew over. I mean, life is short. I say I've got friends who have had recent losses. And James says in response to that, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend the year there, carry on business and make money. Well, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." That's what James says our life is, right? And here we are again. This time, Kairos moment for SP. We don't know where we're going to be tomorrow. I mean, that's a given fact. We don't know where we're going to be next month or next year. Chisholm and myself personally know that life and death is quite a fragile line. And, you know, God's grace is abundant over our lives. But we know where we are now. And we know that God's calling us to do many things, not only here in this ministry, but here in Asia and Hong Kong. And all he's looking for are people to come and partner with that. He's giving us the first bite of the cherry. He's inviting us to say, hey, do you want to join in this? He's going to do his work anyway. All right, we all know that. He doesn't need SP. He doesn't need us. But he's giving us an opportunity to really partner him in this work. I'm going to, you know, P. Sam says, you're blessed to be a blessing. Now's the time to really live that out, right? And not to talk it and say, yeah, I'm blessed to be a blessing. What does that mean? You know? We're being challenged, each and every one of us, from leadership down, to really just see what God's doing in this place. You know, the time for talk is cheap. And a lot of you know, especially my house church members, that I talk a lot. But, you know, I'm just going to throw this out there. This would be more of a time of reflection for each of you guys, because this was a time of reflection for me. But, you know, who here has ever prayed or dialogued with God and said, you know, you are my everything. Now, Lord, I live for you. I surrender all to you. My life belongs to you. All these wonderful words. And I know, and I have said that many times, and I know in those deepest moments of worship, I mean, that's been my heart cry. But then I know many times my actions haven't followed through with that. And now here we come to a stage where God's given us an opportunity to bear into action those things that we've proclaimed in our worship times, in our prayer times. You know, just... yeah, the one cry for me as sort of a leader of SP and as I pray for the church actually comes from Revelation. And I say it's not a rebuking word, but it's more of just a word of just a heed, I'd say. It's in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 onwards. It says, to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put in your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And that's just my sadness sometimes when I see my life. And I'll be honest, the life of SP, you know. Being comfortable and wealthy isn't everything, guys. Yeah. For those who have been SP a while, you know, we've come from humble beginnings, many of us. And God's blessed us in many ways. And I constantly pray that I'm not blinded by the spirit of materialism that's in Hong Kong, by the spirit of comparison that's with my work colleagues, by the things that the enemy distracts us with so easily. You know, just a picture I had was like a horse going down a path, and the enemy's just dangling a little carrot, and that's what we're following. But that carrot is so big in our eyes that we can't see the diamond behind it that God wants to put in our lives. You know, I just pray pray God just really removes that carrot. Whatever it is, as the worship time said, whatever it is that's competing with his heart, just pray in this time right now that God just refines you, you know, refines your heart in the fire. And that, you know, P. Sam says he never wanted a lukewarm church. And I know the leaders have the same thing. And I'm not saying that we are. But I'm just saying more as a warning that we can be. Because the more comfortable we get, the more the enemy is likely to attack. You know, money's not everything. But living for God, is that not what we're here for? Is that true not what we're here for? You know? I know you've all been here for a while, many of your faces, and I know you're not coming here every week to just get rebuked by Pastor Sam. You know? There are many other great churches in Hong Kong, but I know for some heartfelt reason you've been drawn to this place, right? Whether it's the candid messages, whether it's the fellowship, whether it's the worship time, whatever it is, but I know that God has put each and every one in these seats for a reason. And now God's challenging us, right? Saying, hey, just live the life that you talk. Live the life that you talk, right? Hebrews 13, I'll sort of wrap up with this. Verse 5. It says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. I strive to lead by example. I know I fell many times, but I always strive. And so I'm encouraging those of you here, especially those of you who are leaders and core members and have people who look up to lead by example as well. To live a life where you can honestly say to the people around you, imitate my faith. And not in an arrogant way, but in a, just a heartfelt way of humility. Say, look, just imitate my faith because this is the way I'm living my life. And I know that this cannot be done by our own strength, right? For what's impossible for man is possible with God. And we need him. We need him to break our hearts. We need him to mold us. We need him to refine us. We need to speak to us in times of quiet time and in times of messages. And I really just sense that this next 2 or 3 months is going to be that time for many of us to really reflect on what it means to be a Christian, to really reflect on what it means to be a member of SP, to live a life surrendered. You know, all those things that we've profess so easily with our lips. But now is the time where God's really just putting the plate and saying, hey, okay, you've said that. Now show me. Now show me. If we just close our eyes, I just want to wrap up in prayer. Lord Father, we just thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much for just revealing to me the things that are in my heart over these last 6 months through your word, which is living and breathing and sharper than the double-edged sword, Lord. And it truly has pierced my heart in between the bone and the marrow. And I pray that each and every one of the members of the congregation here, Lord Father, that you spoke to them in some way today. That there was a verse or a saying, Lord Father, that they can just go away with and chew on. For your word is honey in the mouth, but so bitter in the stomach, Lord Father. And I just pray that bitterness doesn't come out of... No, it just comes out of love. You love your children, Lord Father, and you just want to see them grow. You want to see them move and just soar on your wings. And I know you want to see SP moving to some amazing things this year. I mean, I'm just excited. I'm so pumped for this year, and I know many of us are. But it really is going to take one accord, one body to move forward in this. And so, Lord, I just pray that you just impart that upon this body of Christ here today. I pray that you break off the shackles of the enemy, Lord Father. Whatever's holding us back from moving forward, you just come and release that right now in Jesus' name. whatever that idol is that we've placed before you, you just come and just release that in Jesus' name. You refine our hearts with fire. Just refine it in the fire, Lord, and just maybe be as pure as gold before you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, once again, we come before you and just thank you, Lord. I mean, you're going to do your work anyway in Asia. You're going to do your work anyway in Hong Kong. You're going to do your work anyway in the nations. But you've given us this amazing brotherhood and sisterhood of family of Christ here, an opportunity to step into that. And I pray for each and every one of us that we just go in all in, Lord Father. And we just say, for once in our lives, you know, this year, 2011, we're just all in. And then we can just watch the floodgates of your love and your grace and mercy pour out over us over the rest of our lives. So Lord, I thank you, Lord. I just declare you are mighty in this place. We declare that your future glory will be even greater than your former one. That SP will truly be a place of peace, where the nations will seek it out, Lord Father. Because you're calling us to be a nations changer, Lord. And so bless my brothers and sisters here, Lord Father. Just love them so much that they can't but just put their hands up and be at awe with who you are. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray.
I'm really touched by when Haish was saying all in. I'm really tearful now. But I just invite everyone just do a symbolic act. We always do that, you know, we stand up and hold each other's hand. Maybe let's stand up and hold each other's hand and just as a symbolic act that as we are together, one body, one Christ, one love. And how you come. Let's pray, you know, SP as one body moving forward together. This is our prayer. Let's worship with this last song. Instead of I surrender all to you, let it make it to we surrender all to you, God. Let's worship with this last song.
We're giving you our hearts.
We're giving you our hearts and all that is within. We lay it all down for the sake of you, our King. Giving you our dreams, we're laying down our rights, we're giving up our prize for the promise of new life.
And we surrender.
And we surrender all to you, all to you. song. We're waiting at the cross, and all the world's so dear, we count it all as loss for the sake of knowing you, the glory of your name, to know the lasting joy and share.
May God be gracious to each one of you and cause His face to shine upon you, so that His way may be known on the earth and His salvations be among all nations. May the readiness given by the gospel of peace be on your feet, that you are ready to walk through this journey of faith that is laid before you. We pray all this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. For those who have physical illness, there is the well in the front, so feel free to come forth. And also, don't forget to pick up your CD.